painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101 we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames. Why don't we introduce ourselves too?
Sure. Like,
All right, so this is Kurt Kalata, by the way.
I didn't introduce myself.
He's been running the website forever. It's a great place to go. Like, if you want to find out, not only I always explain it like this: if you're interested in a game series and you want to know about every game in that series, including like the one that was only out on the Korean cell phones.
Yeah,
that's the website you go to. My name is Rob Russo, but I go by the fake internet name Xerxes, which is a stupid name, but I just like X's. I do the Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast, and sometimes we got my man here, Slow Beef, who's easily the most famous of the three of us. Really,
it's
probably should do the panel.
Much. It's like, yeah, no, no. I'm like one of those YouTube people, and. I was kind of around very early on, so I'm, like, friendly with all these people who, like, got really big and are actual celebrities, so I say hi to them every so often, but I love this site, and I start doing the podcast with them, so... That, I live in New Jersey, too, and they were like, hey, there's a panel we're doing, like, can I come? They're like, why don't you sit up here? And it's like, all right, I'll do that. You know.
Way to sell it. No, way to sell a beef.
Well, you know what the problem is, too? You don't want to be that guy that's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm huge. Don't worry about it. No, so you're kind of stuck there. I'm sorry I had to take you down with me. But
so, yeah. So who here knew the website? Just curious. Yeah? So it's kind of like, I was aware of it. I never visited it. But, how many of you guys listen to the podcast? Aha! Yeah, it kind of sucks, doesn't it?
I didn't want to be the one.
So, since you're not familiar with the podcast, basically what we do is, it's not just called Hardcore Gaming 101, because I have a serious problem with branding. I also gave it a second name, which is the, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That's please tell me that's the burlesque show.
I hope so, but
it's like the UPS man burlesque show.
Just get louder. Let's just drown them out.
Yeah,
whatever the hell that is. But
with nerdery. But what we do is the podcast theme is, it's called the Top 47,858 Games of All Time. We aim to be definitive, so we will not miss all the good ones. But no, how it really works, it's kind of tongue in cheek. But how it really works is people nominate games. They can nominate whatever game they want, as long as we haven't ranked it yet. And then we rank it on a list next to all the other games that have been ranked so far. I think we've done about 350. Mm-hmm. And we've done all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, you want to check it out, you can look at the list right now. bit.ly/47kgames.
So, not like right now, because there's a panel on all that, but...
But you could.
You could. I mean, you're a multitasker.
Yeah, I mean, but... So, normally we take submissions through, like... basically, like, people give, like, you know, iTunes reviews, they can leave them that way. If they're 5 stars, if they're 4 stars, get the hell out. We use Stitcher, another way to do it. People have left a lot of game nominations that way. But that's basically how we do it. And so, since we have no other plans... Anything else you want to talk about, Kurt?
We can talk about the books later, but let's do this first. This is more fun.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'll just tell you the conceit. Do you know what the number one game that we've ranked so far is? Conjure through the Alien Wars.
Holy crap, I love you. That would have been my... Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody's nominated, believe it or not.
Not yet.
Nobody's nominated any Contra, have they?
I don't think so.
People nominate very strange games, so we end up talking about games that are very good or just very odd.
There's two kinds of people, right?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's two kinds of nominations, right? There's the people who nominate their favorite game from their childhood, which is always, like, Glover or some crap.
Yeah.
And and then the other people, right?
Yeah.
Are the people who are like, somebody had us rank. The worst one, the only one we didn't rank was Crazy Bus. Anybody know what Crazy Bus is?
Oh, it's that... Crazy Bus. It's that Mega Drive game that was made by Tomas Maniero, a Venezuelan guy who's active at Views Forum, the forum of the guy who made the SNES, now known as Egan.
Did you just write the Wikipedia article for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'll just, like,
that was a comprehensive. No, but that's rough. You guys didn't even rank that one, right? Because it's, like, it's hard.
It's not a game. It's like a speaking spell. It's not a game. You can't rank it. So, but like other people like have ranked, I think like one with the X-Men NES game is a famously terrible game that had to go towards the bottom. There was another.
That's the third
comment. Come on in. It's okay.
Oh, wow.
That's
oh,
all right. Yeah. We didn't get him.
Did you say something about Crazy Quest before, but under your... Oh, never mind.
No, I was saying, like, I would have ranked it. Like, you know, don't worry. But, yeah. No, there's a lot. Like, I don't know. Like, the worst one, like, you guys have, or we have, actually, is 360, the Fabulous Wanda.
Oh, yeah. Weird Commodore 64, like, Heisinger's Guide, barely a gamer ball.
Yeah, and you cannot finish it. It's literally, we actually went into the code and checked it out, and somebody told us it was actually unfinishable.
Was one of those ones where they, like, took it out specifically because they hadn't finished it and they didn't want people to know, maybe?
I think it was made by, like, a second-grade class in Scotland or something. I don't really know whether they knew what they're...
Because there's that famous example, right, for the Amiga Akira, I think, where they, like, they took out a platform in stage 4. I read about this a long time ago, so I hope I'm not butchering your story, but they didn't finish the game, but they had to release it. So they took out a platform you need to progress in, like, stage 4, so you actually can't finish the game, that's the fact that they didn't finish developing it. So, yeah, that's not been nominated yet, but that's probably going to go pretty
well. Don't give
them
ideas.
Okay.
So anyway, that's kind of how it works, right? And then... you know, usually when we start getting tired or somebody has a headache, we stop and rank it, and it actually has to get... It's come down to coin tosses. It's incredibly scientific.
Mm-hmm. Science.
We've got the coin of science that occasionally is deployed. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it works, and we thought since we don't have any ideas, really... I mean, Kurt actually has a lot of stuff he could probably talk about. we'll do that. We can talk about the books.
I was super vague when I made this so we could sort of wing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd take game nominations from you guys.
We'll show you exactly what it's about and stuff. Do you have a game that you'd want to talk about in relation to others?
As long as we've all played it and it hasn't been ranked.
Yeah. Go nuts. Go obscure.
Oh.
Eternal Darkness.
Okay, Eternal Darkness.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I was just talking about Silicon Knights.
We just did Two Human, actually.
Yeah, that hasn't been up to...
It's not out yet. Yeah, it's not up yet. Okay, how about this? Let me narrow it down, because that one, I think we would have to talk about for... I actually was at E3 when that was unveiled. I went into, like, a little, like, weird tent with Dennis Dyack, just me and him.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really him. It was amazing. I didn't know who he was at the time. I really didn't, but I found out later. But I think that one might be a little bit... That's a great idea, though. So, tell you what. You nominate that game, you go find me on Twitter, @GCINext. Do you use the Twitter? You probably should.
I
don't use Twitter. Okay. But he does.
Yeah,
you could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, @GC9X or @HG_101, say, hey, I was at the panel, I want to talk about Eternal Darkness, and then we'll do it.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to, I do.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I could do it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to give anybody obligations here. We're not that serious yet.
Yeah,
so, how about arcade games? How about, like, classic arcade games? Anybody play anything out there today on the floor that they think is...
Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Oh.
the sequel, actually. It was in Japanese. It's titled differently in Japanese. I just couldn't read it. But I recognized it as the sequel to Saturday Night
Slam. I could just read. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure you don't want to hear me sit and read about stuff like this. One of the books we're actually working on is a comprehensive book of every wrestling game made up until a certain point. And I don't know anything about wrestling games. I'm just putting this together. But... I know the guy who did write this wrote a lot about those games.
I'm sorry, what's this panel about? Because I just came in late.
Okay, so we're this is going to be the best episode yet. We're at Hardcore Gaming 101. We're a game website with lots and lots and lots of obscure information. We've been around for a while. It's mostly his website. I just take credit for stuff. And we also have a podcast that we do, and we're doing one now. And you're on it!
So basically, those conceded is there's 47,000 games that are going to be ranked. We're up to, what, 359?
We've made it through 350-some games, yeah.
Yeah. So because you would be like, if somebody said, like, called out from the audience, say, Eternal Darkness, you'd say, okay, then we'd argue, we'd talk about it for a bit, and then you'd argue, like, I think that should go above Final Fantasy VII. And then one of you would say, that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Number 43, Final Fantasy VII, what's wrong with you? And then,
horrible,
you know.
Horrible arguments ensue. Feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually science wins out and the game is ranked. So how about...
And one podcaster dies.
One every episode. Okay. We go through a lot of guest hosts.
Yeah.
I'm like this, like, Russell Crowe and Gladiator. I survive all the time.
I had a cube metaphor I used earlier.
Yeah, so can we do the original Saturday Night Slam Masters? Because I know we've all played that, right?
On the arcade?
Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't played Zen?
No, that's just one of those Capcom games.
And you're writing a book about every...
Well, I'm not writing it.
You have a website called Hardcore Gaming.
I know.
I gotta go.
He does like the little mime thing down the
street. Tell me about Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Saturday Night Slam Masters, yeah. So it's, it's kind of cool because it's got... Doesn't it have Hagar from Final Fight in there?
It does.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of like a very arcadey wrestling game.
Do you mean Hagar from Final Fight?
I'm thinking like Hagar, like the slacks.
Hagar, yeah, right? Hagar, not Hagar.
Are we haggling over pronunciation?
Yes, we are. Yes. We are. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It does have character designs by the Fist of the North Star guy, Tetsuo Hara.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's pretty cool.
Is it a good game? Is it fun?
Yeah.
What is
okay,
it like?
So I'm the only one who's played? Okay.
It's like a fighting game where you bring your life bar down. Right? And
okay.
Then that's when you can pin them.
I see. Yeah, no, it looks very good. All right, so where would I put that? Let me bring up the list here.
Yeah.
Let me call it. So yeah, the conceit is technically usually we all played the game or whatever. And what's great about a panel where you just ask people to randomly shout it out is you have like a 1 in 3 chance of that. But...
Yeah.
It seems really cool. I mean, I would personally, I don't know, where would you put it?
Well, I mean, it does have Hagar.
Hagar's big, right?
Hagar's a big deal to me.
Yeah, because without him either, you say, okay, it's a fighting game wrestling kind of mashup thing, and I put it somewhere in like the mid-hundreds deal, but like Hagar really bumps that up.
It bumps himself. It up. I think it's, you know what he's got? You know what does it? Is like the little Abner-style, like, strappy-do thing that he's got. It's not like Oshkosh Bagosh here. It's not overalls with like the two straps. It's not like one strap's missing, like Milli Vanilli or whatever they... I don't know which band did that. But it's like this sideways... It's like a mayor's sash, except it has a button and it keeps his pants up.
Mayor's sash.
You know what I like, too, is it helps the Final Fight canon. Because nowadays, too, we have Cody as mayor of Metro City. Who knows what's going on there, right?
That's crazy.
It is.
You go from, like, a prisoner to, like, a mayor.
That's, like, turning your life around.
Usually it goes the opposite
rags
way,
to riches,
right? Usually you're the mayor first and then you're in prison.
Do you ever play like Final Fight Streetwise too, where he's like a drug addict because he wants to, because it's a new drug? Is it true? You play Final Fight Streetwise. Cody does drugs because it makes him a better fighter because he wants to be the best fighter. And I can't remember the name. It's like a fictional drug that makes you like a zombie and stuff. And his brother Kyle has to beat the crap out of him, and he's second to last boss. And then afterwards in the canon, he's a criminal in Alpha, and now he's the mayor. And somehow Saturday Night Slam Masters fits into all that.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, define criminal, because Cody's like this tragic hero type of archetype. Because he's not like... He originally, he wasn't arrested because he did something wrong. He was actually arrested by a crooked cop named Eddie.
Oh, yeah, the guy, he's the boss of whatever, Stage 3 or something.
Isn't he murdered at some point? Or am I completely...
Eddie?
Yeah.
Eddie, I don't remember.
I know. Final Fight Revenge had very strange endings.
Oh, there's Final Fight Revenge.
The 3D fighting game?
Yeah, so that was that Saturn-only one, right?
Yeah.
I think canonically, Slam Masters has to come first, because isn't Hagar a wrestler before he's the mayor? He's like the original Jesse the Body Ventura.
True.
Let's just wait.
We're talking
about the
wizard.
Let's wind the clock back. If you want to live with Hagar and the shame of knowing that that's how you pronounce Hagar, then you can like totally own that. That's okay.
I'll own it.
Okay.
I own that.
All right, Hagar. That's crazy talk, right? I'm raising hands for the people at home who are recording this audio.
I don't care. I just... I,
People care.
I'm old. My brain doesn't work.
Dude, I'm old. I have so little in life. I have to care about something. No.
You know what I've noticed about looking at Mike Hagar is that he kind of looks like Ravishing Rick Rude.
Does everybody hear him in the audience too, by the way? Because he's really helping out here. He's saying that Hagar looks like Ravishing Rick Rude. No, yeah.
No, because he's got, like, he's got the hair, right? And he's got the thick mustache.
Yeah.
And, like, they based this guy right off of Ravishing Rick Rude.
Mm-hmm. Totally, okay.
That's what they did for a lot of wrestling games back then before they were able to get the rights to do it. Especially because even the games that I think did get like the rights to the Japanese wrestlers, there's all sorts of games that use bootleg Hulk Hogan's and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, there's the Fire Pro series, right? They're all like a lot of wrestlers who were in Japan at the time. So some of them you know and some of them you don't. And I hate, like, I'm not a big pro wrestling fan. I shouldn't say I hate it because the terminology that comes out of it is great. Mm. Like, no sell, right?
Yeah, no sell. Like,
yeah, yeah. How many jokes have I no sold on my own podcast? Or like, I tell a joke and everybody's like, I get nothing.
Like,
it's,
right now.
It's like when you're, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like you're punching somebody and you're pretending to punch them. They're supposed to pretend to get hurt. Pretend I'm funny. That's all I ask.
It's nobody will. Yeah. But it's interesting, like, how like pro wrestling's really kind of gotten that resurgence lately, and like, you know, and I wonder too, like, if like a more modern re-release of Saturday Night Slam Masters. I don't think it's part of the Belt series that Capcom came out announced recently.
No, it isn't.
No, so yeah, I would be, even though I haven't played it, I would be all right ranking that pretty high. The 100 area.
One last question for the nominator.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the amazing, Metro City Canonical, like the whole like story, like gameplay wise, what do you think is the most interesting thing about Saturday Night Slam Masters?
We're talking about the first one, right?
The first one, yeah. The most interesting thing about the first one, even if it's a bad thing or a good thing, whatever you think is interesting.
When, from what I've played, I like how you can do grapples and. It sort of sticks to the mechanics of wrestling. You beat them up and then you pin them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it's kind of more like fighting game-esque, right?
Yeah, because you have to bring down the life bar down before you can finally pin them.
All right, I have an idea. Here, okay, I'm gonna throw this out.
Let's hear it.
This is now where this is where things get real. Okay, is this game better or worse than, let's go with, Contra Hardcore?
It's a Contra game.
Contra the Hardcore, but whatever.
Wait, are we comparing that with Contra?
Yes.
Yes, that's
exactly. Yeah, welcome to the game, baby. this is where it gets nuts.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. Because I'll tell you, this is the games around it. You have Scorched Earth at 130, Contra the Hardcore at 131, Ranger X at 132.
I think it's got to go below Ranger X, because that's the one that's got the guy who turns into a motorcycle who also turns into a jet.
Hagar, though.
That's true.
You know,
he's got the one strappy thing.
Oh, but you see, you got God Hand at 136 here. That's tricky.
See, God Hand really is like the...
God Hand's really good.
Yeah.
So Saturday Night Slam Masters.
I think the conceit of the podcast might be a total sham, but we're just going to roll with it.
Right, yeah.
I'm just realizing this now.
I'm just confused now.
All right, let's just go below God Hand, and then I think...
No, but you have to rank every video.
So that's where it goes.
Yeah. Well, what is this ranking based on?
Science.
Science.
Absolutely, yeah. So scientifically speaking, is you're saying that science says that Saturday Night Slam Masters goes under Ranger X somewhere farther down?
Under God Hand, I think. But it's better than Binary Domain, so.
All right, so 136 is God Hand and 137 is Binary Domain. So the question is this game better than Binary Domain? Which
okay, what do you think? Like, just based on the visuals alone, like, the guy who would later become the mayor, he's like... I mean, when he's mayor, he's still wearing that thing. He's still shirtless.
He's the wrestler, and he becomes mayor. And so it's a story that anybody can get into.
Right, yeah, I think it's timeless, really.
Yeah.
At some point, he hung that up when he became mayor.
He became mayor, right, and then his legacy will continue on in Final Fight all right, yeah. I see that.
He teams up with that ninja in the hammer pants.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Okay, I think that's where we're going to put it. We're going to put it right above Binary Domain at number 137, right below God Hand. Yeah. Anybody like God Hand here? Any God Hand fans?
Isn't that the one with the guy getting punched in the face of the car?
Yes, that's the one.
That's the one.
Right through the... There's certain advertisements where he goes right through, like, the back of his neck.
It's like a third-person beat-em-up.
Yeah, it's made by Clover, which, after they were closed down after that game's underperformance...
You might know them better as, like, Platinum.
They basically become Platinum.
Yeah, so it was, like, their kind of proto, like, Platinum game, you know, where you had combos and all that fun stuff. And it's very unique. It's, like, a very... like, a behind-the-back camera, but a fight, like, a beat-em-up, more or less, right?
Yeah. And you could customize all your combos. It was just, like, a really ridiculous, like, Fist of North Star parody.
Resident Evil 4, but with fighting mechanics.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it's very, like, infamous because IGN, I think, gave it, like, a 3.5, and it's now considered, like, actually a pretty excellent game, so...
Why are you going to give it a 3.5 and then... as a better game. Like,
yeah, we already established it's the 137th best game of all time.
Right, yeah. Now, that was a total miss on there.
So, final thing about Slam Masters. One word or two? Slam Masters? Is that one word?
That's two words.
I think it's
put together because it was like Saturday night.
Literally two, wrote a book. And
two M's?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, two M's. Because
then it looks like...
I think it's one word.
Then it looks like Slamasters.
Slamasters, but it has two M's, so...
Yeah, like, see? When you see it, right?
Yeah, Slamasters.
It's like, this is my second Slamaster at, like, wrestling college.
Wasn't Muscle Bomber a better title than Saturday Night Slamasters? Muscle Bomber's a pretty damn good title.
Isn't that the Japanese title?
Yeah.
Someone, like, opened the door, peeked in, and then just closed it immediately. Oh, like, I can't even imagine what visual he was hoping for.
No.
And, like, I don't see Samus Aran here. No cosplay.
Yeah.
They miss Samus Aran.
What is this crap? All right. Somebody else nominate a classic arcade game. Like, classic, like, pre-1990.
I'm going to try to get them back to Eternal Darkness or something.
No, you're not. We will do.
It's their pocket, but whatever. I'll help you.
You can have it, man.
Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition.
Think we did rank that.
Simpsons Arcade.
Oh, Simpsons Arcade.
I just played through Simpsons Arcade, actually.
It's quite difficult to get your hands on. It's quite difficult to play now. How many platforms were available?
I mean, legally.
It was on the 360, but at the same time, it's, you know, it actually did get ported versus something like Alien versus Predator, which hasn't and still won't on the beat 'em up collection. That's a good one, though. That's, I mean...
Simpsons Arcade?
Yeah.
It's fun.
A lot of those Konami arcade games are really very... They're very, very button-mashy in just the way that the hits work.
Yeah.
Actually, the interesting thing about Simpsons Arcade is that the Japanese version was easier than the American version because they added in, like, some mechanics.
Is there, like, nuclear bombs and stuff that you could pick up and blow up things?
You can farm health items by punching trees to get your health back.
Yeah.
So you could punch trees in the American version, but there was a limit, I think. They only, like, let you get, like, two of them before.
American versions was, like, there was a lot of things that the Japanese version had that the American version didn't.
Konami was very conscious about the difference between arcade markets and the territories.
It's funny, because usually, sometimes this stuff is, like, backwards.
Yeah.
But, like, and this is just recent information that I found out. Like, so, in the Japanese version, right, you can farm for health items to make it easier to continue. Right, and then you're given it like an extra life. And in the American version, you can't farm for items. So whatever items you find along the way, those are the only items that are going to like give your health back.
It's just my opinion of this, but I think Americans in general were a little bit more tolerant of games that were a little more quarter munchery. Like they looked at games like that and they're like, well. These games that are playing it are kids, they're just like, you know, excited that they're getting together with a bunch of people they may or may not know, smashing buttons, you know, playing out their favorite cartoon characters. And visually, it's a beautiful game. Like, other than the fact that it started out when, like, The Simpsons was maybe its first or second season, so it still has a sort of weirdness to the... its designs, so the fact that, like, Smithers is the bad guy is very weird.
Burns is, like, it's interesting, too, because, like, a lot of the enemies and stages didn't really have to do with the show, either, right? Because you had, like, a Dreamland stage, where they just get knocked out, and the boss is, like, a big bowling ball.
Is that the graveyard where you go down the elevator and then you end up in Moe's Tavern?
And you end up in Moe's Tavern, exactly. Yeah. And it's a huge Moe's Tavern.
Yeah.
And it's, exactly.
It seemed like they didn't really watch it, because The Simpsons they definitely aired The Simpsons in Japan, but it obviously wasn't nearly the culture phenomenon. So that game was definitely made for the American audience first, and then they're like, well, I guess we'll stick it in Japanese arcades because they have it lying around.
It's like, if you had made a Simpsons beat 'em up, like, kind of now, or even maybe 10 years ago, you'd have, like, a lot more to draw from, but, like,
oh, yeah.
they had to, like, they bring in, like, Bongo from Life is Hell. They bring, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, a lot of stuff. Because it's just, a lot of the characters weren't quite...
Here's an interesting fact, because it's so early. Does anybody remember, like, what happens when Marge gets electrocuted? She's got bunny ears underneath her hair. That was actually going to be part of the show, right? I think that they, yeah.
Life is Hell reference, I guess.
Yeah, they were going to have, like, that was going to be, like, her secret. They were going to do an episode about it. I think the show took a very different turn. But the other thing is, like, the same time where they were going to make it, like, Homer was crusty after hours. Like, it was his night job, but nobody knew. But
I never knew that about the Simpsons. I'm learning things.
Yeah, neither did I.
Fuck video games.
So, what's cool about Konami, though, is, like, they were, remember, they're fresh off of Ninja Turtles. Imagine getting the Ninja Turtles license before the Ninja Turtles cartoon came out, because that's what they did, right? Ninja Turtles made tall cash, incredible amounts of money, pornographic amounts of money, I would say, like just ridiculous. And they got in on that. They made, you know what?
I don't know if that adjective is quite right, but all right, yeah, they made a lot of money.
Look,
all right, they did good.
Obscene amounts of money. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, okay.
Choose your obscenity.
Sure.
I chose mine. And they did that again with The Simpsons. They got in on it so early, there's really no real source material. And gameplay wise, I think it holds up as a beat 'em up. I like it at least as much as Ninja Turtles, which I don't think we've...
There's a conceit to it. I'm using the word conceit a lot. There's like a notion to it, when you play with three other people, when it's a lot of fun when you're all banging away at the arcade and stuff, and you can kind of have that shared experience, similar to Ninja Turtles as well. But then through the cold eye of science, you do see like level, like later stages get a little samey as they start to like kind of run low, and it's...
Final Fight sort of defined what beat 'em ups were through most of the 90s, and Konami games sort of did their own, and they're kind of sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you compare Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time to the Super Nintendo one, like they changed mechanics a lot, and it feels a lot better in the Super Nintendo. Where the Simpsons, it still feels like the arcade game is a little bit like enemies. They don't hit stun the same way. The attack distances are a little weird. It just feels strange. But it's like that's not really like why it was this fantastic, because it just looked and sounded cool. And the Konami arts were really good about doing stuff like that. Like, it still looks great.
I think they were looking really around for, like, what properties have four characters in them that could be...
they had some weird stuff, like, why did they get the Cowboys of Moo Mesa license? Like,
they really think it is really good.
Yeah. It's like Sunset Riders, which is like Contra, kind of.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they thought that would be a success.
Well, I mean, why would they think Ninja Turtles would be a success? It's the stupidest idea I've ever
heard.
That's
the worst question I ever heard. Why would
It's like, okay, they're ninjas and they're turtles, and you're from Japan, and you're listening to this like... Okay, yeah, whatever.
That's right. The first Ninja Turtles game, it came out in Japan before Ninja Turtles came out in Japan. So they had no reference for what these characters were. That's why the numbering of the titles over there is a little different. Like, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, and then Turtles 2, the arcade game for the Nintendo. For the Famicom, the first game was like a literal translation of what Japanese Ninja Turtles is. I can't remember what it actually is. And then
Hero Turtles?
No, that's in...
That's the UK.
That's the UK, where you can't have ninjas.
Alright.
So...
Nintendo one is based more on the comic material, the first Nintendo one, right?
Oh, the original NES game? So, yeah, if you couldn't hear that, it is... that's all they had to go on. I think the cover, like the cool sticker art where they've all got red masks, I think is from the cover of the original.
Like the enemies and stuff aren't...
Yeah, the enemies and the... I mean, The Simpsons kind of has the same issue where, like, there's not enough characters in the show at this point to really... Like, now they could have, like, Disco Stew and Mole Man and everybody.
Comic book guy.
They didn't exist at that time. So, right. Like, you've got a dude in a suit and skinnier dude in a suit.
Giant bowling ball.
Giant bowling ball. What the heck? And but they made a lot out of it. And it's pretty, I like it.
So let me ask you this in terms of ranking kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is this better or worse than Golden Axe 187?
I got to say it's worse.
Worse than Golden Axe. Yeah. Golden Axe is a better playing game. It's even though it's basically a Conan.
I think it's better because
it's
multiplayer.
In multiplayer, because, I mean, it does offer four players. It's a lot more in your face. It's a lot more smashier. But as far as like how the mechanics work and just how fair it is.
Jonathan?
I'm with Jonathan. I like the Simpsons arcade game.
Okay, so let me make...
What does science say?
Let me make the case for Golden Axe.
Okay.
And then science will do the rest. But I just want to... For the sake of argument, because we've got nothing else.
No air so quotes. It's science.
Here's why we ranked Golden Axe where we did. Number one, one of the stages takes place entirely on the back of an eagle in flight, which is pretty cool.
That's not bad.
The bad guy's name is Death Equals Adder.
Also a good point. Death Equals Adder.
Right?
See, it's not just a cool-sounding name, but it's also math.
Right. They stole all the sound effects from, like, Conan the Barbarian and Predator and stuff like that.
There's that.
The sound effects are awesome. Like, my favorite part about it is when you're the dwarf and you do, like, you don't just hit them. Like, it's not like a beat-em-up where you're just like, boo, 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 and then they you know, either fall down or they don't. And then you just, no, it's like a swing, swing, ba, ba. Pop, pop, and he, like, actually busts, like, the pommel of his axe on the front of their skull, just, and you just hear this, pop, pop, pop. It's a great sound, and it's very, I got a lot of issues to work out, I guess.
But wait, Simpsons has a mini game where you get to blow up balloons shaped like the Simpsons and use them to fly to the next stage.
But in Golden Axe, you beat up little gnomes, and they're really annoying.
Yeah, they steal your food, and you kick
and
them
the
in
running
the...
running children is really hilarious.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, actually. What was your name, by the way?
Martha.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. That was really cool, too, because it had more of, like, a...
You sold me. I think I'm ready to go under Golden Axe.
It's got some rad music. Yeah, they've got cool stuff. They did good stuff with the Simpsons, like special moves.
They don't have
the
magic moves that Golden Axe did. Like, there were so many cool magic things that you would put in quarters just to see how many there were. Like, you summon the different ghosts. Like, Golden Axe Death Adder, I don't think we've done, but they have the ones where, like, you summon something and then you see a close-up on the enemy's faces and their just flesh melts off.
That's grotesque. Yeah, Golden Axe, like, the ultimate... the ultimate magic... And also, the cool thing it does, too, is that each of the... characters has a different level of magic things that can get built up. So the dwarf has the strongest attacks and he has the lowest number of magic attacks. I think he's got 4, and after that you max out. The Amazon Tyrus Flare.
Mm-hmm.
I should just, like, if my wife ever hears this, I'm as good as divorced. How do you know the name of the woman in Golden Axe?
Well, who doesn't? Gilius, you knew Gilius Thunderhead, too. It's not like...
Yeah,
you know,
and then Axe
Battler?
Axe equals Battler.
Oh, it's Axe equals Battler.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can get off with that. But,
yeah. No,
Jonathan, get up here.
Yeah, but, like, and so it's cool. So you've got, like, the weaker attack person actually has, like, the most magic attacks. And her ultimate magic attack is just this dragon that's so huge you can't even see anything but its head comes down and just blasts the entire screen with, like, dragon fire. It's so cool.
All right, I got one then.
All right, let's move down.
Is it better than Streets of Rage Remake?
Yeah, okay, Streets of Rage Remake was a really interesting situation. I gotta say, yeah, it is, because it's like a finished, completely... Streets of Rage Remake is awesome for a fan game.
Okay. But it's basically just assets from other games for the most part.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm sold.
Okay, so where would that put it? What's the number?
That's like 246.
That sounds... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like we're underselling Simpsons Arcade. It's just that... It's kind of like...
One of the tricky things, too, is, like, what people nominate are really good games and really not good games. So
this is
it's
a
like
good, yeah.
Something that lands in the middle, it sounds, but it's like it's also like one of the 100 best, maybe, let's say, you know.
It seems like both games have, like, their trade-offs.
That's
magic here, and then there's, you know, also the four-player there.
That's what's terrible about the cold rigor of science, you know, because sometimes it does that thing to you. And you're
facts
just like,
don't care about your feelings.
It's like, yeah,
that,
well,
I'm
you know,
a jerk.
But
check out my YouTube channel.
Don't
horrible opinions.
Don't go
forever.
There.
Hours and hours of bad opinions. Okay, so now I just lost it again.
So between 187 and 246 somewhere.
That should be easy.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to put it above. I'm looking at. Okay. So Pilot Wing 64 is like 209.
Yeah.
Above that's Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. Above that is Star Wars: Jedi Knight: Dark Forces 2, the best title ever.
Yeah.
Police Knots, Bro Force, Mischief Makers. I'm gonna put it below Bro Force and above. Yeah, above Police Knots or below Police Knots.
So, you know Police Knots. I worked on the English translation patch. For
this guy's the guy. If you can play Police Knots, it's because of him.
It's me.
Say thank you.
Give him money. No, you don't have to. Terrible. What did you say?
Oh, I haven't played it yet, but I'll thank you for when I made every run.
Do you like Hideo Kojima?
Yeah, I haven't played that many games, but I've
You like Hideo Kojima, right?
No,
yeah, the Police Knots, yeah, I did the PlayStation version. But anyway, whatever.
I mean, Police Knots, what do you think? I mean, do you
I don't. You know what's funny? Because I worked on that game for 13 months, like, doing the program. I don't love it like everybody else does, funnily enough, but, like, So I don't. I'm not. You're not going to hurt my feelings by putting it above Blue Snow.
Okay, so that's where it's going to go. Thank you for nominating Simpsons Arcade.
Yes,
that was really good. Science works.
Yeah,
I think we have time for one more.
How much time do we have?
Okay, so how about a pre 1985 arcade game? Something really.
What? I mean, yeah, that sounds great. What's a
what game?
Asteroids.
We haven't done that, have we?
We haven't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Asteroids. So you're talking about the classic Asteroids, like two buttons in a vector monitor. That's the Asteroids.
What other Asteroid? What kind of freaking panel is this? Maybe like, wait, Asteroids. Hold on.
They made other Asteroids coin ops, did they not?
There's Blastroids.
Slow down. Were there Asteroids? Yes.
Look, no, they're Blastroids. Look,
Asteroids, I can accept. Blastroids. No. That's not even a word. What is this? Okay, so that classic Asteroids. Yeah, I mean, Asteroids is... It's one of those games... Like any vector-based game, right? Vector graphic game. It's like, it's one of those things you've got to see the real thing.
It's so shiny.
And the explosions are gorgeous.
Yeah. It was its own like thing, and yeah, when you see it, you can't like look at it on like an LCD monitor or an LED or any of that. It's like that you need that like vector, that like brightly colored shot going across the screen that's like glowing off the glass.
Yeah.
The original it was just four buttons, right? There was no joystick.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I have difficult playing, because I played Asteroids in the Atari 2600, which obviously used a joystick. So there's what, like left, right.
Yeah, there's
boost
a
rush shot.
And there was a warp button, right? That like teleported.
That sounds like a lot of buttons, actually.
Left, right, thrust, attack. And then was there where a fifth? I know.
I thought there was like a hyperspace button.
Yeah, there's a hyperspace.
The Atari version definitely had. You pressed like backwards.
Yeah, the Atari version had the hyperspace.
So it's five buttons.
So,
right? It definitely had buttons.
I think it was buttons. It was really. Yeah. So, I mean, what's interesting about Asteroids is, like, it's kind of like, in a way, when coin-op arcade games kind of grew up, in a sense. Like, it was designed, it wasn't like Pong, where it's just like, this is, you know, like, it's a good game to have in a bar because you'll start fights and stuff like that. But in, like, you know, other arcade games of the time, like, what are some other, like, really pre-Asteroids arcade games?
Asteroids was what, 79?
Star Wars. Remember, like, Star Wars arcade?
Oh, that was after.
Yeah, that was definitely after. It was like way more advanced.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is, like, there's a lot of good design decisions that went into Asteroids. So one of them is that hyperspace button, which you guys are talking about, or the warp button, right? So as we all know, like, you're moving your ship around this big field of play, and you've got asteroids coming everywhere and stuff like that. And you very quickly you're going to find yourself, oh, no, there's nowhere I can go, right? So you can press the warp button, and you'll just warp to some other part of the screen, and you don't know where it's going to be.
It wrapped, too, right? Like, if you went
on the screen, And so that was cool, because it was like a risk. It's like, yeah, you can get out of that situation if you think fast, but you don't know where you could be in worse situation after that. Mm-hmm. When you shoot the asteroids, the bigger ones will break apart into smaller asteroids, which you also have to contend with. That's a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. And also, because they figured out while they were making, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but he figured out, like, oh, people who are really good at this can just, like,
was it Wild Rains?
Huh?
Wild Rains?
Maybe. I don't know.
Ed Logg? Dominic Walsh?
I wouldn't know. I can't. Okay. I'm not probably going to recognize the name of the asteroids guy, but I think it was Baron von Asteroids.
I think it was in his family. It was Lyle Rains. Let's just go with that.
Okay. So when they're making this, when Lyle was down in the lab making asteroids, and he realized that, like, with arcade games, like, you've got to keep people moving. Like, it's got to be fair enough, but you can't just have, like, people just parking their ass in front of the cabinet and just dominating it for hours. That could be a problem for some games. So what he did was he said, how about this? You stick around long enough, and there's going to be a little UFO which comes in off the screen and shoots at you. Just to get you moving, so you have to keep moving. And that was a good idea, because, like, the person behind you wants to play. You know, that's the whole idea. It looked really good, yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
There was a 28-year record set for the high score in Asteroid by a 15-year-old from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow, that really just dropped. I expected something out of it. Well, anyway,
I was just...
What year was that record that set?
It was set in 1982, and then it was broken in 2010 by John McAllister. They don't say where John McAllister is from or who the hell that jerk is.
It's the kid from Home Alone.
Yeah, you're right. This is well, that's Kevin. The 58-hour internet live, a 58-hour internet live stream. Like my grandfather wrote this or something. But anyway, yeah. So,
what's the oldest game we have on this list? I saw Solaris on here, but that's like
Solaris
a
Solaris is very late Atari.
Yes, yeah, so that's center. Still like 19.
We didn't rank Donkey
Kong. Donkey Kong was 83, right?
Yeah, that's way. Yeah, 81. I'm thinking 83 is Mario Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Regular Mario Brothers, yeah. Thank you.
What do you think's number one on the list, by the way?
Combat, I think, is the oldest game on the list. The original Combat.
Oh. Yeah, you could look it up, but please don't. Because I feel like Asteroids has to go up somewhere, right? Just for its history and game. That kind of thing.
So, for example, like we've got another arcade classic, Galaga, number 34, which is right above Robotron 2084.
Yeah, Combat's number 8, Pac-Man's number 9, actually.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So, let's start with Pac-Man. What do you think? Asteroids, Pac-Man.
Ooh. I feel like Pac-Man you can play longer.
I feel like Pac-Man did more. That's a bold statement, but I'll make it. I feel like it did more for games.
I'll say this.
Is playing longer necessarily better?
No, not at all.
Not necessarily, but I mean, it's like I don't know if we're gonna get to Robotron. I think Robotron is better than Asteroids, even though an average Robotron game lasts maybe a minute, just because that minute is always gonna be incredible.
Yeah.
Like you just go around and everything's exploding everywhere. You kill everything. You just like whoosh to the next stage.
Robotron was like the twin stick.
Yeah, it's the first
Robotron
twin stick.
Was
game.
So I would, I'm going to make a case for below Pac-Man, which would put it above Street Fighter 2 Turbo if we put it right below Pac-Man. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Anyway, but my case would be this. Here's the thing about Pac-Man that a lot of people don't know, is that if you grew up playing Pac-Man and you loved it and you played the hell out of it, the machine you played was probably hacked.
Oh, yeah.
The speed-up hack was put on some like ridiculous percentage of machines, and the same is true of Ms. Pac-Man, and those are probably the more fun versions of the games. It makes them a little bit easier, but it also makes them more deadly because you can easily get out of control. They're faster. So, since we're going to be ranking the regular, we just ranked the actual Pac-Man, like the legit Pac-Man, I say Asteroids... I say that's actually, no, that's that, what am I talking about? That's an argument to put it above Pac-Man. What am I talking about?
That's terrible.
I'm an idiot.
Just get the fuck out.
I'm out of here.
Get the heck out of here. Dude.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Didn't Pac-Man have that one level?
Argue against it. The reason being is because I would say even now Pac-Man has more staying power recognition than Asteroids.
That's a good point. So that's not going to pick up on the mic, so I'll just repeat it if you don't mind. So he said that Pac-Man has way more staying power than Asteroids, meaning that people still play Pac-Man.
I'm there with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Think it's more broadly appealing, like Pac-Man, you know?
Yeah, I think, and Pac-Man's got like character to it, whereas like the spaceship is like it's really doesn't even look like a spaceship exactly.
It's like the geometric shape, like all vector games really.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's a good argument for putting it below Pac-Man.
All right.
Should it go below, like, underneath?
What about Combat? It's all right. I think it goes above
Combat's Combat. Combat's above Pac-Man.
You think that?
Now who's incompetent?
No, I was saying... But wait, we just said... Oh, yeah, wait, I'm sorry. You're
yeah,
right.
See?
I am.
Happens to all of us.
I don't know that I could put... I don't know that I could put Asteroids above Super Turbo.
Yeah.
I'd argue a little lower, because I think Robotron 2084 is better. Yeah.
I like how every time you're done looking at the list, you just throw down your phone in disgust, Beef. That's right.
It's like I have 8% battery left, so I'm trying to be like, okay, I'm done looking at the list. That's
I know
it.
If you smack it a couple times, the battery kind of gives you a little bit of extra juice.
I just got to make it survive to my car.
Okay, so let's move down a little bit. We got Kix. Kix. Q-I-X.
It's better than Kix, I think.
Better than Kix.
Wait, what number is Kix?
It's at 48.
Good, because it's worse than Bloodborne for sure, because I freaking love Bloodborne.
Bloodborne is ridiculously high, right?
Yeah, well, it should be. What?
5 minutes.
All right. 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
We got to do this quick. I want to give a quick spiel on the books.
Okay, right. So it goes...
Below Super Tecmo Ball.
Super Tecmo... Where's that one?
60.
What about
Asteroids?
Super Mario 3.
Well, it's not on the list yet, so...
That's Super Mario 64 is number 2. No, Super Mario 3 is number 5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we did rank them.
See, yeah,
that was
number
my guess
5.
Thank
number
you. I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot. I don't even listen to my own show, I'll be honest. Okay,
so... Tell us what number 1 is.
Tetris.
Tetris.
Oh!
Yeah, so... Tetris. What about...
Number 2.
We only have 3 minutes left. Number two is Super Mario 64. Number three is Katamari Damacy. So what about we put it above Bejeweled, below Donkey Kong?
Sounds good to me.
Righto.
That's where it goes.
That's
number science. 32. That's science. Asteroids. Thank you for that one.
Well, thank you all so much for contributing and everything. I hope you had a good time.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.